Well, we're now in week three of our summer message series called Good Friends. You know, I think summertime is a natural time to start thinking about our friends. Why? Well, we've got all those backyard barbecues and pool parties, kids sleepovers, and even vacations with close friends. Summer is a time for friends. And friends are one of God's sweetest blessings. The Bible says that a friend loves always. That's in Proverbs chapter 17. Friends lift us up when we're down. They support us when we're in trouble. They comfort us when we're suffering. And friends celebrate our good times together with us. But the best friend we could ever have is God. And that's the premise of this series. And that might sound a little strange to some people, you know, God as your friend, especially if you see God primarily as an authority figure, or you just struggle with the idea of having any kind of relationship with God. In fact, saying that you can be friends with God might sound to some people as crazy as having an invisible friend. But it is possible to be friends with God. And in this six-week series, we're looking at what it takes to cultivate a close friendship with the Lord. And what we're discovering is that being friends with God is very much the same as other friendships. It takes important qualities and a serious commitment to the relationship. Well, two weeks ago, we kicked off the series by looking at one really important quality of any relationship, and it's one that you might not guess. It's the willingness to reconcile with one another when things go wrong in the relationship. And things have definitely gone wrong in humanity's friendship with God. In fact, 2 weeks ago we said that the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, from beginning to end, is really one big story of God trying to make things right with us. From almost the first moment of creation, our ancestors lost God's friendship by disobeying and turning their backs on him. And from that first moment, when we damaged the friendship, God has been trying to win us back and reconcile with us as any good friend would do. Then last week, we talked about another key ingredient in our friendship with God, and that is trust. You can't have any kind of friendship, any kind of relationship without trust, even more so with God. But with God, when you put your trust in him, comes certain wonderful benefits. Because the more you trust in God, the less conflicted, worried, depressed, anxious, and generally nervous about things you will be. God cares about you. God loves you. God will take away your fear, even in the worst of circumstances, when you put your trust in him. Now today we're exploring a third crucial element of friendship with God. I want you to take a moment and think about your friendships, maybe some of your closest friends, your BFFs, you know, your best friends forever. You probably started off that friendship with some kind of mutual interest, right? Something you held in common. That's because friends have mutual interests. They have the same friends, they enjoy the same activities, or they work for the same company, they live in the same neighborhood, join the same clubs, and generally have the same priorities in life. One time back in seminary, years ago, when I was home for a pretty large part of the summer, one of my closest friends invited me to watch one of his daughter's softball games on a Saturday. I was impressed by how well he knew all the parents there. During the games, they would chat about their kids, share stories about their families, and generally enjoy each other's company. And that's the way it is with friends. Because they have so much in common, friends are usually part of the same circle of friends. Years ago, a friend of mine back in Atlanta invited me to join, and don't laugh, her square dancing group. I said, don't laugh. I heard the giggles. How many of you have been square dancing before? It's fun, right? Those of you who haven't done it, give it a try. Anyway, she invited me to join her square dancing group, and I wasn't too sure about it at first, but much to my surprise, I loved it. I loved it so much, I started going every week and even participated in a square dance tournament one time. We came close to winning. But over time, my square dance partner's friends also became my friends because we shared a common interest. We ended up, you know, sharing meals together and laughing. We went out after square dance practice. We all became friends because we enjoyed the same activity. And that's the way it is with your friendship with God. When you become close friends with God, you just naturally develop the same interests as God has. And I think that's what Jesus is kind of saying in the gospel passage tonight that we heard at Mass. You know, he makes some pretty challenging statements, right, about what it takes to be his friends. In fact, he makes three of those statements. But big picture, what he is saying is that to be a friend of his, we need to have the same interests as he does. He begins this way, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, obviously, there's some exaggeration going on there. He's trying to make a point. And the point is this. To be his truest disciple, you may have to put your faith and the requirements of your faith above other interests, sometimes even family. Well, Jesus goes on and makes another daunting statement. He says, whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Now, look at that cross for a minute. It doesn't look like much fun, does it? I mean, Roman crucifixion was the cruelest form of execution at that time, and probably ever. And yet, Jesus demands that his disciples willingly endure and even embrace the suffering of the cross. What does he mean? Well, for some people, he meant it literally. All of his apostles except one were martyred, and several of them were actually crucified just like him. But more broadly, what Jesus is saying is that everyone who makes the mission of Jesus, makes his mission and his interests a priority in their life, will end up sacrificing. They'll end up making sacrifices. And then Jesus goes on to make one last shocking statement. He says, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. In other words, you know, people who seek happiness in life by pursuing their own interests will never be fulfilled. But we will experience lasting fulfillment when we sacrifice ourselves and our desires and hand them over to God and his mission. To call Jesus our friend, then, it seems that the lesson here is that we have to take seriously what he takes seriously and make his interests our interests, even if that means giving up some of our own. So, I know the burning question on your mind right now is, what are his interests? Well, let me tell you, I'm glad you asked. I think he has one big interest. God has one thing that he's truly interested in, and that's making new friends. That's the whole point of that word, you know, that we hear over and over again. The preachers are always guilting you into. You know, they say, go out and evangelize. Scary, right? That word just means making new friends for God. Jesus gave the church its fundamental mission when he told his disciples in the very last lines of Matthew's gospel, go out and make disciples of all the nations, baptize everyone, teach everyone everything that I have told you. What's he really saying there, bottom line? He's saying, go and make new friends for God. You know, when you think about it, everywhere that Jesus went, He didn't make casual acquaintances. He didn't say, hey, how you doing? You good? Okay, great. See you later. No. Everywhere Jesus went, he made friends in faith who lasted. After meeting Jesus, Matthew left his lucrative tax collecting business to follow him. Simon's mother-in-law got up and started serving after he cured her of a fever. Same thing happened to Mary Magdalene. He healed her and she became one of his closest, most faithful followers. Jesus did not make casual acquaintances. He made lifelong, eternal friends in faith. You know, over the years, I have shared bits and pieces with you of my meandering path in life. And if you know me, you know it's quite meandering. I've been to a lot of places, lived in a lot of places, held a lot of different jobs, and enrolled in a lot of different schools. But in all those adventures, I've made friends along the way, as I imagine you have in your journey of life. When I was in my early 20s, I had friends that would go out. We'd go out to the disco clubs. Don't laugh. We'd go out to the disco clubs, and we would dance until the wee hours of the morning, you know, Saturday Night Fever and all that. I have to tell you, I was pretty good. I really was. I'm not going to demonstrate for you tonight, but I was good. And we went to all the fashionable night spots in Atlanta, like the world-famous Limelight that you can see pictured here. It's still in Atlanta in the entertainment district called Buckhead. It's called the Limelight. Anyway, that's what you did in the early 80s, right? Other than getting perms, you would... John apparently got a perm in the 80s. Isn't that what you told me? Yes, okay, he's going along with it, not true. But anyway, that's what you did in the 80s. You got perms and you went out and danced on Saturday nights. Anyway, I made a lot of friends that way. In college, I made friends. I had a regular study buddy. When I drove an ambulance on the weekends, bet you didn't know I did that. I drove ambulance on the weekends. I became friends with police officers and other EMTs. In business school, we worked a lot on team projects together and we got to know each other. When I worked as a lawyer, my colleagues became my friends. It's a pretty natural thing to do for it to happen. And of course, I had lots of church friends, relationships that I had formed through old-fashioned Christian fellowship, you know, with people at Mass, like you're here tonight, and in small groups and ministries and missions. And many of these people that I've met, whether they were friends from church or other settings and situations, became what I like to call God friends. God friends are people who bring the love of God and his goodness to the people around them. Somehow, in what they say and how they act and in the care they offer, they just envelop us with the compassion, mercy, and kindness of God. I hope you are blessed with some God friends. I hope you are blessing others by being their God friend. But I got to tell you, to be someone's God friend requires sacrifice. And I think that's part of what Jesus meant by taking up your cross and losing your life. It means giving up some of your time to be there for your God friend when they really need you. It means being willing to stop what you're doing and put aside your agenda for a while to share in the life of the other person. It means sometimes sticking your neck out and telling your God friend the hard truth they really need to hear. It means going the extra mile for them, and that's hard. It takes sacrifice. It's really hard. But here's some good news. When we put God's interests first, his interest in making new and deeper friends for him, we will be rewarded. Not only with a more fulfilling life generally, but at least in one very specific way that Jesus points out in the gospel passage. Here's what he says. He says, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me, which is God, the Father. Whoever receives a prophet meaning showing hospitality, being a friend to that person, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives, meaning being a friend to a righteous man, because he is a righteous, will receive a reward as well. And then he finishes it up with this. He says, whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, he will surely not lose his reward. Who's a little one? Well, he says it right there. It's his disciples. It's you. It's his followers, the ones who are working with him, the ones who are working for his mission, the ones who make his interests their interests by making new friends for God. They will be rewarded. Jesus promises that those who help his friends along the way will be rewarded. And that's really what happened in the Old Testament, right? The first reading we heard about the prophet Elisha. Traveling along the countryside, he was doing the work of God. It was not easy in those days to travel far and wide like Elisha did. And after a long day, when he was done with his work, he would often stay with a certain woman and her husband who lived in a village called Shunem, about 25 miles southwest of the Sea of Galilee. Well, he kept passing through town, and she decided that she should give up a portion of her house to make a guest room for him, that so he would have a safe, quiet place to rest from his work. She blessed him as her God friend. And of course, he blessed her as her God friend when he performed not one, but two miracles for her. There are two ways, I think, that you can become God friends with other people. First, you can help people who already have faith grow deeper in their faith, and they can help you do the same thing. That's why we offer small groups here at St. Hilary. Small groups create a sense of intimacy and close fellowship in an otherwise large church. It's where everybody knows your name. Small groups are where people notice when you're absent and they miss you if you don't show up. It's a great way to make God friends. And so if you'd like to learn more about our small groups, take a look at the Next Step section of our website, sthilary.org. We'd love to have you. Second way that you can make God friends for God, you can help some of your friends begin the journey of faith by being their God friend. How can you do that? By being a living example of the Lord in their lives. Have you ever thought of yourself that way? As being a living example of God to other people? Even if you don't, even if you haven't thought of yourself that way, I believe you are, even if you don't know it. You can be a living example of God in the lives of other people. You can get to know your casual acquaintances and your social friends on a deeper level. You can listen to their struggles. You can show them the love of God in the process. And then, when the time is right, you invite them to church. And we do the heavy lifting. Bring them with you, or at least invite them to watch. We call this process investing and inviting. You invest in your friends and then invite them when the time is right. It's another way of making more friends for God. So, here's the main message for this week. If you want a deeper friendship with God, if you want to feel closer to Him, make His interests your interests. And the easiest way to do that, the best way to do that, is make more God friends.